to keep your Bible open in front of you. We're on page 950, Romans chapter 16. That'll be a great help to you and a great help to me as we get into this passage. But before we do that, let's pray. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that you have spoken to us so much through these final chapters of Romans the past couple of months. And we pray for this time now, as we get into Romans chapter 16, would you speak to us through these words, through the words that are written here by Paul in the power of the Spirit, and would you speak to us through my words as well? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what on earth do you do with a passage like this? What do you do with a passage like this? Is it just a boring list of irrelevant names? Is it just for Bible nerds like me who want to get into the extended universe? Is it something that we should just ignore whilst we focus on the real meat of Romans in the earlier chapters? Well, the answer that I want to give to you is no. This passage has been written here by the Holy Spirit. It's full of God-breathed words. And it is written for us here, written to the Romans for us. You see, this passage gives us a wonderful window into what Paul thinks Romans should look like in practice. It's a window into what Paul thinks it means to be a church. It's just like a camera's focus, that when you turn and turn the focus, suddenly the picture becomes clear. And when we read this passage with that, thinking about how it shows us what it looks like to be a church, we're going to see suddenly not something blurry, but a very beautiful picture about what it looks like to be a church. You see, there are 26 people that are mentioned here in this passage. All of them were enemies of God. Many of them would have been hostile to each other, and God has reconciled them back to himself through the death of Jesus Christ. And he's reconciled them to each other. They're brothers and sisters. Now, as we get into this passage, there are loads of ways that you can get into a passage like this. But today we're going to be doing this. You see, of the 26 mentioned here, 10 of them are women. You might have spotted some of the names. Some of them sound more like female names than some of them don't sound like female names. But these are the women in this list. There's Phoebe, there's Prissa, there's Mary, there's Junia, there's Tryphena, there's Tryphoa, there's Persis, there's Rufus's mother, there's Julius, and there's Nereus's sister. And of the three people that he speaks most about and speaks about first, two of them are women, Phoebe and Prissa. And as we'll see, as we get through this passage, of all the women and men that Paul mentions here, it's Phoebe and Prissa that he speaks of most highly. Now, I don't know if you find that surprising. Given what many people think about Christianity today, what they think about the Bible, what they think about Paul, I think many in our culture would find what I've just said quite surprising. Now, people in the Roman world in which this letter was written, they would have found it surprising. They would have found it shocking, even, because the Roman world in which this letter was written was one where men oppressed women without recourse to human rights. But here we read Paul lifting up women as co-workers, as equals. I think it's surprising to our culture too, our British culture, which has a police force with, as the Katie report put it recently, institutionalized misogyny. Our British society, where not a week goes by without some other instance of hashtag Me Too happening again. Our British society, where there still exists a glass ceiling for women in the workplace, where sexual harassment happens at work and where domestic violence happens at home. But here in Romans 16, where we get a window into how Paul thinks Romans should look like in practice, we see the Bible lifting up women as co-workers, as equals. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise to us, because Jesus came and he treated women with respect, with dignity, and with honor. Both women and men are made in the image of God, different but equal. And when God came and stepped down amongst us, God the Son in human flesh, Jesus Christ, treated women as equals, honor, dignity, respect. He met the woman at the well and didn't judge her, though his disciples did. Jesus healed the bent over elderly woman, called her the daughter of Abraham. She's the only person in the New Testament to be called that. Women were the ones who remained with Jesus longest at the cross. Women were the ones who were the first of his friends at the empty tomb. So Christchurch Central, how are we doing? How are we doing on this as a church family? Are we more like Jesus, or are we more like the world? Over half of us here will know from personal experience the answer to that question. And if you're a man, why not ask your wife? Why not ask your daughter, your mum, your sister, your female friends? How are we doing on this as a church family? Now, coming back to Romans, we remember and we rejoice, don't we? We remember and we rejoice that it's by the grace of God, because of God's mercies, that we have been saved. We're saved by this Jesus's life, death, resurrection. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our performance. We're sinners saved by grace. And because of this grace, because of this Jesus and his Holy Spirit, we've been adopted as our Father's children. We're daughters and sons of God, each with that equal prize inheritance of the ancient world's firstborn son. But we're not left as we are we? We're not left as we are. Romans 8 talks about how we're being conformed into the image of this Lord Jesus. We're becoming more like him, increasingly having his mindset, his attitude, his heart. And as we saw a few weeks back in Romans 12, because of God's many mercies to us, we're to not be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So we've traced that through. We've traced that out the last few weeks, haven't we? We've seen as a church, we're to live as a family, caring and bearing and sharing with each other. We've seen that we don't judge people who are different to us. We seek to please each other. We're a family where Gentiles, where the nations have been brought in, where different kinds of people have been brought together to be a family. We're men and women, but no longer seeking power over each other. We're family. We're mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. That's where we've got to in Romans so far. And with that in mind, let's get into this passage and let's look through this window here in Romans 16 to see how Paul thought the church should be. Now, we've not got a huge amount of time this morning, so we're going to focus on two women in particular. They're Phoebe in verses 1-2 and Prissa in verses 3-5. So do keep your Bible open in front of you. If you've closed it, page 950, chapter 16, verses 1-2. Paul says this about Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchre, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. I wonder, did you spot there the first way that Paul describes Phoebe? Did you see it down there in verse 1? Sister, our sister. That's because the most important thing that Paul says about her is that she's our sister. And he's going to say some incredible things about her. We're going to see and dig into it. But she's there and she's our sister because we've been adopted by God. Because we've been adopted, we have sibling relationships with each other. The person sitting next to you on your right and on your left is your brother or your sister. Now, Paul will go on later on in the New Testament, he will go on to write a letter to a younger Christian leader called Timothy. And we'll come back to this in a bit. And he will say to Timothy this: treat younger women as sisters with all purity, because that's what they are. Sisters. How would you treat your sister? Honor, respect, dignity. Be our sister. But she's not just referred to as our sister. She's referred to in verse 1, have a look down there as well, as a servant of the church at Kenchre. Now, Kenchre was a city, a town, small town near Corinth in Greece. And Phoebe was a servant of the church there. And it's unclear what exactly that means in the text, but probably she was some kind of official. She was some kind of official role in the church leadership there in Kenchre, rather than it just being, you know, a general description of her as being a servant-hearted kind of person. She was probably a leader of some kind. But beyond that, we can't really say that much. And it's at this point, and in many points in Romans, that we have to say, wouldn't it be really great if we had someone who could help us understand what Paul was all about? Hold that thought for a second. Phoebe's also called, in verse 2, she's called a patron. And that's another word that's a bit ambiguous. It's probably more than being someone rich who supports other people in ministry. It's probably something that, you know, she's probably someone of prominence in the wider church scene. So basically, Paul's saying that Phoebe was some important person in the church, an important leader of some kind. But again, we can't be clear. And again, we are thinking, wouldn't it be great if we had someone we could ask to help us understand the difficult things in what Paul's written here? But here's the interesting thing, friends. Here's the really interesting thing. Had we been in Rome 2,000 years ago, had this letter of Romans been delivered to us here at Christ Church Central, Phoebe would have been that person that we would have asked. You see, back then, posting letters was tricky. They didn't have royal mail. They had the imperial postal service. And private citizens, though, they weren't allowed to use it. So if you were a private citizen like Paul, just a normal person, your letters needed delivering by hand, by someone trustworthy, especially if it was a valuable letter like Romans. Now, I don't know how valuable you think Romans is, but let me tell you this. The cost of making Romans was about £2,000 in today's money. That's the cost of materials. That's the cost of having a secretary to write it. That's the cost to Paul of not being able to work as a tent maker. He needed money to buy his food and pay for, you know, clothes or whatever. Romans cost about £2,000. But more than that, Romans is a deeply precious letter. You see, its words are God-breathed, and it contains the richest, the sweetest explanation of the gospel of grace in the New Testament. It contains the seeds of the Reformation that brought light to a darkened continent some 500 years ago. You guys remember the MasterCard adverts. Romans cost about £2,000, but actually it was priceless. That's what it was. And yet it was entrusted to Phoebe's hand to deliver. That's why Paul commends her. Do you see down there in 16 verse 1? I commend to you our sister Phoebe. That's why he asks them to have a look at verse 2, to welcome her and to help her. But Phoebe was more than just a letter deliverer. Paul had learned the hard way. If you read the rest of the New Testament, you can spot this. We can happy to chat more later if you want to. But Paul had learned the hard way that his letter carriers were more than just private, personal post people. They needed to act as his representatives too. You see, Phoebe would have been the one, when the letter was delivered, she would have been the one that read it out, that read out Romans to the Romans. She would have been the one helping them interpret it, helping explain the difficult bits that they couldn't have got their heads around. Let that sink in for a second. Just let that sink in. The person that all of that was entrusted to by Paul was Phoebe, a woman. Phoebe is a hero of the faith. She's our sister in Christ who had this incredibly important role, showing just how deeply respected she was and how valued she was by Paul. So that's Phoebe. Now we need to remember at this point that this passage is a window on how Paul thought Romans should be lived out. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We're not being told here to be like Phoebe. We are being shown how Paul treated women in the early church. As he goes on to say, I said it before, treat older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. That's Phoebe, first hero of the faith. The second woman is Prissa. She's down there in verses 3-5. Have a look down there. I'll just read those again. Verse 3 says this, greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. The second woman is Prissa. She's married to Aquila, and they were a wife and husband team. And to me and my wife, Nikki, these guys are some of our all-time Bible heroes. So it's really cool to be able to preach about Priscilla and Aquila. Prissa and Aquila. We've based so much of our ministry on what these guys do. But look, it's really interesting to note that Prissa's name is here written first. Did you note that? And the language the New Testament was written in, when you put someone first in a list, it shows that you are making them the most important. Now, look, if we go through the rest of the New Testament, you'll notice that Prissa and Aquila, the order gets changed around. Sometimes it's Prissa first, sometimes it's Aquila first. That's because they were equals with each other. But they weren't just equals with each other. They were equals with Paul too. I wonder, did you spot down there in verse 3, the way that Paul talks about them both? Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Prissa and Aquila, both of them are co-workers with Paul. They're his equals. That's quite an astonishing thought. Not equal in terms of being an apostle commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but they are equals. Paul considers them to be his equals. He looks at them eye to eye. He looks at Prissa eye to eye and sees her as an equal. Now, Prissa and Aquila's story is fascinating. As a wife and husband team, they were two early Christian leaders. They were heroes of the early church. They were missionaries. They were disciples. They were church planters. Most of it's in Acts 18. Do go away and read it if you've got a spare moment later on. Their story is this. They were in Rome, and they were kicked out of Rome by Claudius, and they went on to Corinth, another city. When they were there in Corinth, they met Paul. They hosted him. They opened up their home to him, hosted him and included him in their tent making work. And after a while, they decided to join and follow Paul on his onward journey as a missionary. But they decided to stay put in Ephesus, where they met a young man named Apollos. Paul carries on, they stay there. Now, the thing with Apollos is this. Apollos was a great teacher, a great speaker, but he didn't quite get it. He didn't quite get the gospel. He was following the teaching of John the Baptist, but hadn't been given the Holy Spirit. So Prissa and Aquila got alongside him as a couple. They nurtured him as a couple. They taught him as a couple. They corrected his theology as a couple. The two of them there, side by side, as a mother and a father in Christ. Apollos himself went on to go and have a wonderful ministry due to Prissa and Aquila. Now, sometime later, they ended up returning to Rome. And here we read in Romans 16 that they're hosting a church in their house. They're leading a church together in their house. These guys, both of them, Chrissa included, are Christian heroes. They've gone around doing gospel ministry together. Verse 4, they together have risked their necks to save Paul's life together. And again, we don't know what that's all about. But you know, if Phoebe was here, she's the one we'd be asking. And Paul is deeply grateful to both of them equally. Indeed, all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks to both of them. And of course they would, because as a husband and wife team, they've nurtured leaders side by side. They've planted and hosted churches side by side, wife and husband. They've labored together for the gospel. They're Paul's co-workers, both of them, Chrissa and Aquila. You see, Chrissa is a hero of the faith. She's a gospel worker, a co-worker equal to her husband, and equal to the great apostle to the Gentiles, Paul himself. She's a mother in the Lord to Apollos, the great preacher. She's a rescuer, a savior, in a sense, to Paul. She's a mother in the Lord to the church they host in their home, and in which she's a gospel worker. Chrissa is a hero. She's an absolute hero. Now, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. This passage is a window, okay? It's a window on how Paul thought the letter of the Romans should be lived out. We're not told necessarily to be like Chrissa, but we are shown here how to treat women. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But time is short. Lord willing, we're going to pick up these themes again in the new academic year as we continue to think about what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ, a family of believers here in the church, different but equal. But as we close, we remember those words that I read out from 1 Timothy later on about how Paul talks about how we should relate to each other in the church. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. May that be true here for us, here in Sheffield. May we be men and women adopted by God to be his daughters and sons. May we be what we are, and may we treat each other as they are. We're going to take a moment or two of silence. What does your heart need to say to the Lord? What does your heart need to say to the Lord now? Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing our final song.